Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hello, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé podcast, where this is part one of three, believe it or not, of the Couples Tell All recaps that'll be coming to you every week for the next couple weeks. I am your host and conductor of the Hot Mess Express, Puya Zandvakili, ready to break down everything we saw in the first batch of the Tell All. And of course, I'm not on my own. I've got someone here with me ready to sink their teeth into all the nonsense from the RHAP class of 2020. We have Rihanna. Rihanna, how are you doing today?
I am doing well. Thank you. I'm very excited to be back on the Hot Mess Express. Let's break it all down.
It's always a good time here, despite the fact that the phrase hot mess is in the Express's name. Now, I think, Rihanna, more than any other week, this is going to be a bit of a hot mess because... Mm-hmm. We kind of saw a lot of stuff happen in this tell-all, but also it was all over the map. So I think we can maybe go today, we can go chronologically, go through each thing, couple, and like any of the little extra stuff that was said left and right, we can, you know, talk about as we go along. But primarily, because we haven't talked to you in a minute now, I want to know what your overall thoughts have been on the season now that we've gone to the tell-all.
Well, I have to be honest, I had to take a little break in the middle because it was getting a bit much, especially after the other way finished. I was like, oh, there's no bright shining light at the end of this week. It's just down in the dumps. It was rough. So I had to take a little break. I had to step away from it. But then, as 90 Day always does, it reeled me back in. You know, I saw a few of the trailers and I was like, oh man, even halfway through this tell-all, I was like, ugh, I don't care. And then a minute later, I was like, oh man, yep, definitely tuning in next week. Have to see what happens. which I think is just kind of the story of 90 Day Fiancé. It's ups and downs. But it's been a ride. It's certainly been a ride. It's been quite a season. I think it's hilarious that they call it Happily Ever After. I think they're going to need a rebrand. It's been a bit of a mess, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, given the way the couples have gone and the dramatics, and honestly, shout out to the marketing department for 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After, because the next time ons always bring me back, even if the episode was bleak all the way through, especially here. I watched this first time last night. I made dinner, sat down with Liana, we watched the episode, and it felt like it was 3 hours long.
Yes.
Like, it was painful.
It was.
So, yeah, it was so slow, but then we saw the next time on, and I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right. I'm going to come back next week. Yeah. I'm ready. I'm excited. So
exactly how I felt. Like, halfway through, I was asking my partner, I was like, oh, how long is it? Like, can you go up and check? Are we almost done? And then at the end, I was like, okay, when's it coming back? I got to hear from Vanessa. I got to be back. I got to watch this.
Yeah, no, and then here's a lot. So right off the bat, let's talk about the fact that Paul and Karini will not be there. Okay, so we're not going to hear anything from them. Again, we've talked about this before. It sounds like their relationship's going to be off limits from now on.
Yeah, I think as soon as it gets into that sort of legal realm with, you know, restraining orders and all that, TLC is kind of like, oh, okay, stepping back.
Yeah, we good. We don't need this. We don't need this. And I think it's better for the both of them as well to not be involved. So yeah. I think that's the right choice. So we dive on into this tell-all. And obviously, it's kind of like the Avengers, like everyone's coming up and getting ready to meet up. Right. So you've got Libby and Andre. Andre's doing his push-ups and he's getting ready. Colt's in the mirror complaining about how, like, everyone's got a loved one. I have two exes who hate me that are going to be there. So, yeah, and it's been 10 months since he's seen Jess. So right out the gate, I would like to just put it out there. I feel like Colt deserves the fact that his two exes are there because Cole did this to himself.
100%. I have, like, not a single part of me feels bad for Cole. He is, he's the one who just makes me so angry. Every time he's on screen, I'm just, I fill with rage. I'm so angry at him. Zero sympathy from my side. He absolutely deserves to have, everyone on that cast should be angry with Cole. Nobody should be in his corner. Not even Debbie. Debbie needs to separate from Colt and get on the right side here.
Well, that's the hardest task in the world, to ask Debbie to separate herself from Colty. But she'll definitely talk about that more, too, getting into this tell-all. So I have no sympathy there for me. No love lost there. Everyone's assembling. They're getting ready. Kalani and Asuelu, they don't even know if Asuelu's going to be there. She talks about how there's a cycle of them getting along, and then he gets mad and leaves, and then they get along again. He gets mad, he leaves, and that keeps happening. Tanya and Sinjin don't know where they are. Honestly, watching this season, I couldn't tell you where they are because they've not been on my screen. They've barely been there.
Yeah.
And then Michael's still in Nigeria. He's still got no spousal visa coming his way. The wait is long with them, but it'll happen eventually. They just have to keep waiting it out. And the one thing that was interesting to me is Angela said that she's worried because she's been doing stuff that Michael doesn't approve of.
That totally, as soon as she said that, I was like, ooh, what's that? And then we didn't bring it up for the whole, 5-hour recording. So yeah. I assume that's a part two or part three tidbit we're going to get.
I think so, because I don't think it's the dental work she's getting done, because we would have seen him have something to say about that real quick. Yep. So the fact that it wasn't that leads me to believe that it was more of a part two or part three situation, which we'll get to later. I'm very curious, because when we get to them, we'll talk about them, but I've said this before, my least favorite form of Angela is reunion Angela.
Interesting. Because
reunion Angela thinks the show is like she's making jokes. She thinks she's funny. She's putting on a show. I hate it. I hate it so much because I can see right through it. So we'll get into some of the stuff she says. Now, Sean Robinson, once again, coming here to anchor this tell-all. She's been doing this for every single tell-all for the longest time. What are your thoughts on Sean as a whole?
I think she is doing the Lord's work in these 90-day fiancé tell-alls, because it takes a special person to try to command this group of hot messes, I guess I can say. They're all over the place. They're fighting. They're screaming. Yeah. They're dropping F-bombs. They're yelling at each other. They're yelling at the family who are coming on. So I think it takes a special person to really corral all those people, keep them on track, react, but not in a way that, sets people off, but still in a way that lets them know that, we're not all on board with their behavior. I think it's very impressive what she does, and I definitely would not have the patience or the bandwidth to do anything like that.
Yeah, it's definitely not easy, because here's the thing. At a tell-all live, it's a little bit easier. Everyone's there. Body language exists. If, you see the host being a little bit more strict, you'll calm down. But over Zoom, we've all been doing a lot of these calls since the pandemic has begun. So we know once there's six people in this call or beyond, all it takes is two people to talk out of turn, and it becomes just a whole debacle, and it's hard to rein people back in. So it's definitely not easy. I will say I'm starting to, because I've thought for the longest time, Sean is not that great because she keeps having these awkward gaps and pauses in the middle of but now I'm starting to think, is that just poor editing?
That's what I was thinking too, because there seem to be giant pauses in these conversations, and then we get a reaction. So I was like, oh, is that just, is there a lag time on the call? Is Sean, maybe, is she very liberal with that mute button? Is she muting everybody and then kind of, letting them back in? But I feel like that's something they could clean up in editing, if they didn't want to have these awkward pauses. I don't know if that's on her. I will say some of the questions she was asking, I was kind of like, did we need that, Sean? I get the point. Do we need to keep digging here? There's a lot. You don't have to manufacture drama on this tell-all. There's tons of drama. These people are bringing the drama. There's no need to go back and go, oh, so Andre, what do you think the role of a man is? We get it. We get that Andre's a bit chauvinistic. No problem. Let's move on.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of just repeating stuff. I did catch her ask the same question twice, which I was like, either y'all wanted to keep this in to make her seem stupid, or she just knows she's stupid. I don't know why she asked Andre twice what he's doing, if he's working. It's right? Like, well, He said he's not working, so why are you bringing this up again?
Exactly. Yeah.
So as alluded to, Angela has some dental work being done. At the sound of what the procedure was, Liana had a gasp. So I think whatever it is, it's not pretty, which now makes sense why she's wearing a mask. Because I thought initially that it was a pandemic thing. And I thought, well, not only are you wearing it incorrectly, but you're also in your own home. So you should be able to not wear it.
I think that's where everyone's head went right away when she first had it on. And then when she started saying, oh, you know, I'm doing something he doesn't approve of, I was like, ooh, does she get her lips done or something? Is Michael anti-plastic surgery? I thought we were going into a fun little Larissa avenue there, but no, dental work not nearly as exciting.
No, definitely not. So then out of nowhere, right before Sean goes to start, we see Asuelu come in, sit down, put on his earpiece. So I was kind of shocked to see Asuelu there myself, because I didn't. The problem is that they never give us how many weeks ago this was, or how many weeks, months since the finale. Because so we know that Jess and Colt haven't seen each other in 10 months. Okay. But then what we don't know is how long was Asuelu over in with his mom where we left him last. So Yeah, the continuity is not there for me, which I don't like, but that's fine. I think we'll be fine without it.
we'll make it.
Yeah. Well, okay. So then here's where we're about to jump into the recap and part of things. And this might be a little bit shifty, but we'll get there. So right off the bat, I want to talk about this whole, the arguments between Colt, Larissa, Jess, and Debbie. Mm-hmm. So let's see. Let's recap where we left them last. Okay, so last time Debbie and Jess spoke, and Debbie and Jess and Colt spoke, it was the big breakup, and Colt's been sending pictures to women, and Jess has screenshot them, and Jess wants to show it to Debbie. Debbie walks away, doesn't want to deal with it, and then and it was just a messy breakup all around. So there's no love lost between these three because, you know, Colt and Debbie and they say hello to Jess, and then Jess says, shut up, I don't want to talk to you. So the animosity is in full swing right away.
Absolutely. My favorite line was as she's getting ready, Jess is like, it'll be a success if I destroy Colt and Debbie. oh, Jess. Speaking for the people. Correct.
Oh, and here's the thing. She does it in big style because she says, hey, Debbie, you look good. You look like the devil, like a demon.
Yeah. And then we've got Larissa cheering at the back. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Amazing. I love that Larissa and Jess, I mean, they're both big messes, but I love that they're on the same team and just supporting each other, cheering each other on. It's amazing.
Yeah. Honestly, no one's watching Darcy and Stacey. I feel like more people would tune into Jess and Larissa if that was a show.
I would probably watch that.
Yeah, just because I feel like they would give me early 2000s Snooki and Dina meatball vibes. I feel that's where that trajectory would be, which I wouldn't be mad at. But yeah, they pretty much, the thing is, I think both Jess and Larissa were a bit more coy and vocal this time around because they had each other as cheerleaders, as supporters. So that was pretty interesting to me. And apparently, Colt and Larissa have not spoken since the last tell-all that they were on together. Mm-hmm. So it's been a minute. So Colt says that, I guess the American dream must be to look like Dolly Parton when he looks at Larissa for the first time. I feel I Googled Dolly Parton after he said that just to double check. I don't see it. I don't really understand it. Is this a dated reference to me?
Yeah, I think this is very dated. I think Colt just went immediately who has a big chest? And that was sort of the first person he got to. I don't think that's really, yes, of course, Dolly's, she's got a big chest, but she's got the wholesome, sweet Southern vibes, big hair. I don't think that's really the look Larissa's going for. I think if he's getting Dolly Parton vibes off her, she needs to head back to that creepy doctor, because that's not the look.
Yeah. No, and then the Colt and Larissa stuff gets nasty. Because Colt says, well, he doesn't recognize Larissa since they last saw each other. And Larissa says she recognizes Colt because he's fatter than ever. Which, so then
it's like a good, you know, a good burn on her part. It looks like she kind of did some work, put together a good list of insults for Colt, but like not even true. He's obviously much, much smaller than he's been in the past. So it's like, what? Yeah. What are you talking about? Like he's visibly smaller than any of the clips they were showing.
Yeah, and I'm insulted because obviously Larissa has not watched the workout montage with Colt at the beginning of the season, which is just rude. You have to watch that.
It's rude.
Well, then this doesn't make Colt any happy. So Colt says she's not the woman he married, so he's going to call her Larissa McGillicuddy. Now, again, me being about, what, 9, almost 10 years into being in North America, I didn't get this McGillicuddy reference. Is Eric's last name McGillicuddy, or is it like a rich person last name? What is the case here?
I didn't get that at all. When he said that, I was like, I don't understand. And I didn't even, this is how much I don't care about Colt. I didn't even look it up. I was like, I don't know who that is. That didn't land for me. Sorry, Colt. I have no idea what that means.
If anyone knows what this means, please send it my way on the internet. Because I would like to know. Oh, it's, let's see, Mrs. McGillicuddy is Lucy Ricardo's very dim-witted, scatterbrained, but still loving mother on I Love Lucy. Surely this is not the reference he's making, right?
I feel like it probably is, but I think this just shows us, like, another lens into the cult world. It's like him and Debbie Friday nights watching I Love Lucy marathons on TV. Then they listen to some Dolly Parton in the morning. Like, it's, this is the peek into cult's life that, like, I don't think I needed. And I think if any future cult girlfriends are out there, like, this is what you're in for. It's I Love Lucy. It's Dolly Parton. It's not the life I want to live. That's for sure. No.
I hope you like reruns because that's what they do on Saturdays. And then, so Larissa claps back after hearing this and says she's going to call him Colt Cuckold, but she pronounces it in a way more fun manner than I just did.
Yes, she does. That one, she was so proud of herself. Like the look on her face, you can tell. Like she had that one written down in her phone for a few weeks now. Like she's been practicing it. Eric gave her the thumbs up. Like she was really, really proud of that one.
Yeah, before I forget, so first of all, Eric was loving this, okay?
Yep.
This next thing is, did you notice at one point later on Eric's gigantic bottle of water that he was drinking from?
No. Uh-oh.
Oh my God, I should have screenshot this. It was just ridiculous. Like this looked like it was 2 gallons worth of water.
Oh my,
I was like, I don't understand why you're drinking from this. Yeah, but Eric doesn't really contribute anything this entire episode. So maybe we hear from him later because he did foreshadow it in the beginning. Let's see. What did he say at the beginning? He said something along the lines of, if Colt's going to come at me, then we're going to have an exchange or something. But then nothing came of it.
It's so strange. They, like when they were doing the, you know, everyone getting ready montage, we had people coming out and saying like, oh, I don't know if Aswell is going to be here. You know, Jess saying, oh, I want to destroy them. And then Eric just had the most like reasonable response of like, oh yeah, you know, if Colt comes at me, we'll probably have some words. And it's like, what? That's not like, you got to put it on your game face. You got to be coming out with something a bit stronger off the bat. Not just like, oh yeah, we'll probably have a bit of an exchange. I have to see what he does. Like, that's far too reasonable for this level of 90 day.
Yeah, no, there's not been a bigger bag of flour on this cast than Eric-y. Like, really, just straight up giving me nothing. Yeah. All he's done is he's provided the seed money for the initial surgeries for Larissa with interest.
Yeah.
And that's it. And he's just become a nothing since then. So we'll see where we go with him. But then, so here's an interesting part where Andre gets a dig in on Larissa. So he comes in, he's a Colt. I don't know what you've been doing to these women. And like they end up, you know, you break their hearts and then they go and do this stuff. Like, yeah, and then he calls her Michael Jackson 3.0, which, ooh, I was like, yeah, there were a couple moments where I felt like the Andre and Libby side were like shading Larissa hard. Both of them were.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, just because I'm newer to 90 Day, I only started watching this year. Do they have like a history like with Larissa?
So I've been off of the subreddit for a minute now. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's been anything direct, but every season, every time there's a tell-all, there's always like very interesting views that come out of it, because there's clearly people that have been watching the show and they have opinions about their fellow castmates.
Right.
So yeah, it's been very interesting for me to see that, because I don't I don't know exactly.
Yeah, but they were getting heated. Like Andre coming, calling her Michael Jackson, then he was coming after her for not providing for her kids, and then out of nowhere, we'll get to this later. But you know, Libby saying, "Oh, you would know, you're a stripper," or something. I was like, "Whoa."
Hmm. Yeah. No, it's just brutal stuff. And then, like, what's it called? And then at one point, just every time they spoke, Larissa's answers was like, "Shut up! I'm not talking to you. Stop talking to me." Mm-hmm. So I think that it's only going to get worse and worse with them. So I'm very keen to see what happens at the next couple parts with these two, because I feel like there's going to be more. Although I'm surprised that Larissa didn't get some digs in when they were highlighting the Libby and Andre side of things.
True. Yeah. She was quite quiet through all that.
Yeah. Well, we found out that in a week's time from the reunion, which I'm assuming is long gone at this point, Larissa was doing three procedures in one. She was doing a BBL, which you found out is a Brazilian butt lift, a tummy tuck, and lipo at the same time.
She's going for it. She is going mm-hmm. for it. And then everyone piled on about, you know, so what about your kids? Don't you have children you're supposed to be supporting? And she says, "Everything I do is for my kids." And it was just a little bit of like a head scratch, like the BBLs for your kids. You walk me through that one? What's going on here?
I was like, that's a bold thing to say, and it's going to be a hard thing to try and defend.
Yeah,
so I kind of found myself being like, no. But I mean, I found out recently. So because she was all over the news for she got detained by ICE and then ICE let her go. So apparently she's started now on an adult webcam site and she did like one show and is in the top five most grossing on that website. So, I mean, if she sends that money to her kids, then it is for the kids.
All right. Right? All right. I see it. Yeah. So this is like an investment into her, her career. Okay.
With interest. Let's not forget the interest. Yeah. No, my God. It's so uncomfortable. But yeah, so that's been Larissa and what she's been doing. So then Then Colt asks Larissa if the best day of her life was her getting the surgery. She clapped back immediately and says the best day of her life was getting out of Colt's life. And then no one asked. Okay. Let me preface this. Nobody asked this. But then Debbie pipes up and says the best day of her life was when she had Colt, because that's what a mother does or says or something. And I was like, this is uncomfortable, Debbie. Why? Like, no, there was no opening there for you to like come in and praise your son and like say how much you love him, but you found it and it was weird.
Yeah. Yeah, leave it to Detective Debbie just to make things slightly more uncomfortable as she sits next mm-hmm. to her fully grown son and makes us all think back to the day he was born. Like, just
It should be illegal for Debbie to leave a room and not say, "I'm done." It's illegal. I didn't like that she stormed off and didn't say it. I felt robbed and upset. So Debbie, if you're hearing this, and I know you're not, because Colt's not on this podcast, you only listen to his nonsense, you should be saying it, but it's fine.
Agreed. Every time she gets up, every time she moves, we need that mm-hmm. line.
Yeah. So this is where we kind of start diving in a little bit more into the Libby and Andre side of things. So Sean asked them how they've been doing in the pandemic, and they talk about how they've still been arguing about stuff while during the pandemic, and Andre's still taking care of his kid at home. So this kind of ends up becoming a bigger conversation about what are his roles and what are his beliefs. He's clearly so defensive about what he's doing, even though he tries to act like he's comfortable with it. But then we get into the whole male role, female role stuff that goes on. And a bunch of the cast had stuff to say about this.
Yeah, this is the part where I was sort of starting to lose Sean's point of view on all this. So here's my take on it. I think Andre is very comfortable staying home with Eleanor. And, you know, he's defending himself. He's saying, you know, what's wrong with a man staying home with his daughter? And everyone is saying nothing. Of course, there's nothing wrong. Like, you can be a stay-at-home dad. You can be the stay-at-home parent. But I think where he's losing the train is he thinks when people, you know, approve that, they're saying, okay, that means, you know, you're not a man. You don't get to make any decisions. You have no say in your household. Whereas it seemed like the general consensus was everyone saying like, no, it's just equal. Like you just both make decisions together. Who cares who's earning the money, who's staying home. And I think he kind of like has a hard time accepting both of those things. And then we'll have people like, you know, Colt jumping in being like, oh, well, you can't be the stay-at-home dad and the man of the house. Like, why not? Why can't he be a decision maker and a parent? Like, why is that? It just seemed like we kept berating him over the same points. And it's like, he's, you know, he's fine. He's a stay-at-home dad and he's accepted that. Let's all accept it. And then, you know, of course he's got some backward views on man of the house, but obviously he's comfortable enough to let Libby, you know, go out, be the breadwinner. He acknowledges that. I don't know. It just seemed very exhausting.
Yeah, no, this whole conversation was exhausting. And it's exhausting to hear some of these points of view from some of the people on this cast. Asuelu's kind of one of them as well to me, where it's like, why is this kind of a predetermined menu of like, you're either the man of the house or you're the woman of the house? Like, that makes no sense to me. That has no place in 2020. So, and it feels like Andre's starting to like get there, because I feel like initially he wasn't. He's starting to get there of like, no, I love my responsibility. It's very clear that he wants to raise this child, so I'm happy about all that. But then I feel like he has identity crisis at some point where he's like, oh my god, no, but I'm still the man, I'm still in control, I still wear the pants in the family, I still get final say because the man gets the final say. It's like, that part doesn't need to be there, really. It really shouldn't. And I think, oddly enough, I'm gonna agree with someone like an Angela who said, we're a couple of the house. And I'm like, that's the way it should be, really.
Yeah.
There's two of you. Yeah.
I totally agree with that. And I kind of think that's probably how it actually does go down in their house, because Libby doesn't strike me as somebody who's like, you know, just sort of bowing to him and letting him make all the decisions. I have a feeling she's got quite a bit of say, especially, you know, they're in Florida, they're right next to her family, she works for her dad. Like, I'm sure he's not really bossing her around. I don't think she would put up with something like that. I don't know. It feels like he's got some ego issues, right? Like, he's got to sort of defend his ego a little bit. And I think he's getting mixed messages when Sean, like, over and over, oh, you know what? Like, so are you working? Do you have a job? It's like, he just said he's a stay-at-home dad. That's his job. Like, do you think now is a good time for him to go out and start a new job? Like, we're in the middle of a pandemic. What do you expect?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And that's the thing, is that I feel like early on, Sean kind of goaded him a little bit, but I'd be like, whoa, you're being defensive. I didn't ask it. I was just asking. Like, to make it seem like he's being defensive, now he's going to be more defensive. He's going to be more like on the other side of things. But it sounds like the other problem is that Libby still thinks he's not doing enough to help out with regards to the duties. Like, it sounds like he's like, well, I'm taking care of our kids, so I'm immune from any other responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one's hard. I mean, I think it's so individual, right? Like, I know a few stay-at-home parents, and it doesn't mean that the other parent is like totally off of childcare duty or off of any household duties. Like, you still have to split some of those responsibilities. So I found it a bit interesting in Libby's answer when she was like, well, you know, putting aside that you're a great father, a great dad, oh, he just does, you know, she lists a few things that he does. And it was kind of like, well, like, what's, I don't know, you know, like, what's the relationship there? If he really is all day long with Eleanor helping you guys, you know, to avoid childcare costs, is it reasonable that he should also be, you know, making dinner and going to the grocery store? Or is that stuff that she can take care of? Like, it's a bit tough, I think, when you're not there with them every day to really say, like, okay, is he doing enough? If Eleanor really does need that kind of care, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to. Yeah. And I think that, you know, the older she is, it sounds like he wants to dabble in real estate, that we find that out later on. That's what he wants to do. I still think that Andre would make so much money Twitch streaming. And I just like the idea that he's like getting donations, and he's like, he's getting a donation. He's like, David, thank you for the $5 donation. Tell me about your past. Why are you asking this stupid stuff? I don't want to talk about that. Like, I would watch so many hours of that. Yeah. And he could stay at home with his daughter. Like, it's a win-win to me. But we'll see how he does in real estate when he gets there. So then, let's see. Where do we go from there? So then they talk a little bit to Asuelu. And they ask him what his roles in the house are. They ask Kalani that. And Kalani says, list these things as the stuff he does. So he does the outside work, which we've learned is raking the, what was it? Apples,
I think. Yeah.
So he does outside work. He puts the kids to sleep sometimes. He does little things here and there, like does some of the dishes, cleans the playroom. And then Colt throws a little jab that I only caught on the rewatch in the background where he's like, does he also get an allowance?
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. It's like, wow, Colt, that was a good zinger. Yeah. So again, this goes back to what we were talking about with regards to the roles, because we've heard that Asuelu thinks that there's a man's job and a woman's job. And we saw the clip later, which we'll get to when they recap them. But he says, oh, the woman's job's easy. But then he doesn't do those things. So it's frustrating us watching this. Like, this entire tell all just got me more and more frustrated about Asuelu. While I thought that he was in a position like the last month where those episodes were making me see him in a good light, from the finale till now, it's just ruined all of that for me. He's back to square one.
Yeah, agreed. My notes start going into all caps during their section because I just get so irritated with him. Right. Writing,
we should
man
save
child.
The gold. Yeah. Yeah, we'll save the gold for then. let's keep talking about the Libby and Andre side of things, because this is where the tell all becomes about them, and we're shown the montage of Libby's family being insensitive about Moldova, classic Americans asking if there's Walmarts here. Do you guys eat salad? It's still the most like condescending thing ever. It's like, do you guys put lettuce and tomatoes in a bowl and then eat it? Like, yes, everyone does. That's not an American thing. Like, come on. All that stuff's going on, and then that's before Jen comes in. That was just the Chuck and Charlie. Then the Jen comes in, Portion happens, and she's all like, yeah, it's just what I expected. It's gloomy, it's like cold. It's like, yeah, well, it's the fall again. Like, you came here in the wrong season. That's your fault. And then talking trash about the food, which, you know, as a Persian man, that's the part that gets me the most, because it's like, you know, you eat hot dogs. Don't tell me that pig fat is the scraps. Hot dogs are scraps. Chicken nuggets are scraps. So, like, every culture, every country has their foods that you might be like, but like, you don't need to disrespect it like that.
Yeah, this part was the most cringeworthy. Like, watching it back, having all the clips cut together. Ugh, it just made me, like, this is, I mean, I'm Canadian, so I can maybe say this from my high horse, but like, this is why people are upset when certain Americans travel, because this is how they travel. Like, they ask about Walmart and Amazon and salads, yeah, and are, you know, mean about the food and the culture. And it's just like, ugh, like, you're invited to his home. Like, this is where his family is. You're coming for a wedding. It wasn't supposed to be this big, like, ooh, highlights of Europe, let's go see the Eiffel Tower kind of thing. And I mean, Moldova is, you know, it's a poorer country. It's, I think, like, ranked like one of the least happy countries in the world. It's not this bright, cheery place, but you're there and you should be. I think one of the other couples was saying, like, I think it might have been Sinjin, like, saying that you need to be a little bit more appreciative of this culture and this experience that you're having. I just didn't. And it was so gross to me to watch, like, to watch all that back, and then for Sean to go to them, and then I think it was Charlie saying, like, oh, no, I'm not embarrassed. I'm not sorry about what I said. Like, seriously, you can watch that, watch yourself on TV like that and not feel embarrassed? Like, that's horrible behavior.
Yeah. And, like, for the record, I 100% cosign that there are people that travel that are just the worst to whatever habitat they go into. And I think Sinjin's 100% right, where he says that you need to embrace the culture. 100%, especially not only embrace the culture of a place you're visiting, but also it's the place of, you know, someone who's now in your family, whether you like it or not. So definitely you need to be embracing it. It's just inexcusable that Charlie's unapologetic about it. It's stupid. But both him and Jen clearly have an agenda of their own and just are not going to stray from that, no matter how dumb they look.
100%. And it was so nice to actually see Libby, like, kind of stick up for Andre in this situation and, like, kind of tell her family that like, wasn't cool and that she wasn't happy seeing how they behaved there. I think she so rarely picks a side, and she so rarely picks Andre's side. So it was kind of nice for her to actually call them out a little bit there.
Yeah. And like Debbie, who's like the one of the more, you know, older people on the cast, who I think would have very equally opinions about such things. She defends Andre, which makes me feel good.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's good to see. Yeah. All in all, this was a hard thing to watch again. But then the next thing they recap them with is they show them the confrontation between Andre and Charlie at that one restaurant that they went to. And for some reason, the entire family is blaming Andre for this whole thing.
Yes, this is the part that absolutely drove me crazy, because I remember watching that episode and it was like equal parts Andre and Charlie being horrible, saying things to each other, getting in each other's faces, getting aggressive, wanting to fight. And then all the clips they showed us was just Andre being the worst. And then everyone just piled onto Andre. And I was like, hello, can we rewind and watch that again? Because it wasn't one person who wanted to fight here.
Yeah, it takes two to tango. The fact that you're saying that's not the case is ridiculous. And then also the fact that you don't think that, you know, his wife taking him outside to calm him down and then them choosing to leave to maintain civility wasn't the appropriate response, and you would prefer him to come back on his knees saying, I'm sorry, when in fact it was two to tango. That's nonsense. I'm sorry. They made the right choice by leaving the premises.
100%.
Yeah. Well, then we get the my favorite part, which was the Charlie being a drunk idiot segment. It was very great watching him eat humble pie and just watching him make a whole ass of himself in front of his family once more. But this time they all get to see the footage of stuff they missed.
Mm-hmm. That was great. And I appreciated that he did say, you know what, I was out of line at the wedding. Mm-hmm. I think it would have been nice if he took that one step further and actually apologized to Libby and Andre for kind of like ruining their day. But at least he admitted that he was wrong. I love that all of the family were like, oh yeah, there was a lot of alcohol involved with Charlie. But then with the Andre situation, they're like, oh, don't blame it on alcohol like that. You know, mm-hmm. You're just a hothead. You're so aggressive. It's like, oh, but when it's Charlie, not a problem. It's just alcohol.
No, the hypocrisy in this family is just unlike any other that I've seen in a minute. And ultimately for me, the big question I have moving forward is, are they just trying to egg Andre on for two reasons? One, because they just hate him. And two, are they trying to be the next spinoff show? Yeah. Because honestly, there is no other family within these 90 day couples that is as involved as this Andre family. Literally, the reunion had like 8 members of the family on the screen. So I think they're all trying to get in on that TLC money personally. I think Jen thinks she's some like stone cold Cersei Lannister type. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. I think they're shooting to be the next Family Chantel. I think they're trying to get in there. And like, that's the only thing that makes sense to me, because, you know, even like going back to the whole, oh, why did you leave Moldova business in the middle of it all? Just like, what do you mean? Like, he's been married to your sister for years now. They have a child together. He lives in the U.S. and he's already said, like, Libby knows why I left. Isn't that enough? Like, Libby knows. Who cares? Like, why do you guys need to know? It's just such a strange plot point.
Right. Ultimately, they need to know because this is the only thing they can ask to keep themselves in the picture.
Exactly. This will be this is the, like, alcohol is to Tanya and Sinjin what why did you leave Moldova is to Libby's family. Like, they just have to keep bringing it up every scene. Ridiculous. I can't believe they, like, added his brother and his friend from Moldova just to be like, to ask this question again. They're probably like, really? Like, we're still here? This is still the problem?
It's still an issue, but I'm sure we're going to talk about them more again. I don't think they're going anywhere. I think we'll see them again saying some stuff in the next couple parts of the tell-all. But we'll move right next to the Michael and Angela side of things now. So they get their big, we got a big look into their relationship. At first thing Sean says is she wishes, you know, gives condolences to Angela for the passing of her mom, which was very sad for both her and Michael. And then they talk about the trust that between them, and Angela just straight up says, I don't trust Michael. And this has been a thing that's been going on forever. And who would have thought all these years later, the infamous BJ would come back into conversation.
So you're going to have to catch me up here, because I think this was before I was watching 90 Day Fiancé. I think I can guess what we're talking about. But is there a bit of context that I need to know?
So basically what happened with Michael is that Well, he confessed to getting a BJ mm-hmm. at one point to Angela. And it's iconic because the direct quote on the show was, "I did the BJ, you know, for real," while talking in the confessional. So he for real did the BJ. So when Angela brings it up here, she's kind of shading him a little bit. She's not directly bringing it up. So what she says is, what would happen? Like, oh, so no, let me set it up this way for you. So they talk about Angela not trusting him. And then Michael's asked to clarify. And Michael brings up the fact that he has three generators in his house so that if the power dies, he can turn it on, charge his phone, and have his internet keep going for 24 hours a day. And then Angela's asked, what happens if the phone is off? And she says, the BJ, which bothers Michael because he's like, you didn't need to bring that up. That was, you said we move past it, don't bring it up. Which, low key, I kind of understand where he's coming from. Once it's buried, don't bring it up unless you're trying to poke the bear.
Right. Yeah. He definitely, like, it seemed like she was kind of bringing it up in a bit of a jokey way. Like, she was kind of laughing through it, but he immediately 100%. Got serious and was like, like, we're not going there. So I think that's definitely, so is that, did that whole incident happen when they were already dating? They were already together?
Yes, yes. So there's been a couple instances where she's lost her mind on Michael. The BJ one was like the most legitimate reason. But then there's been like, he used to have an Instagram following all these girls that she wanted him to delete, but then he didn't delete. And then there was an instance where she's like, I heard a different phone like ringtone. Right, so I know
that one.
Yeah. So like the trust issues have always been there with Michael and Angela. And like, if I minced any of this, and if I forget anything, listeners, please tweet at me. Give me the correct scoop because it's been a couple years at this point. But I remember that pretty much being the way it was. Basically, the trust issue has always been there with them. And no matter what happens, no matter how we shake it, Angela's never going to trust Michael, in my opinion.
Which is so interesting to me. I mean, maybe I'm just more like, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, but I can't imagine going into a marriage with the caveat being like, I will never trust you. Like, you will never have 100% of my trust because of, you know, things you've done in the past or my feelings about them. Like, how is that, you know, they laugh about, oh, I've got three generators. He's got to take the phone when he poops or whatever. But like, how is that you want to live? Like, that's horrible. It sounds like a jail sentence to me.
It's exhausting, like both as the person who's being questioned and as the person who doesn't trust. It's exhausting. Yeah. Like she literally is saying that she's going to have one eye on him the entire time they're married and not eyes on him in a romantic way. No, you need to give me a food log. You need to give me a diary of your activities. I need wear this Fitbit so I can track your steps and like. Insanity. This is literally too much. And here's the thing. I feel like Michael is a nice guy. And I feel like Michael genuinely wants to be with her. So that's why Michael doesn't want the BJ to come up. Because I feel like Michael's been doing everything else by the books. So when you're bringing back his past that he so clearly regrets, but you've forgiven him, it's like, hey, you said we're past that. Why are you bringing this up again? Why is it every time something happens, you're bringing it back to this one thing that we've already settled?
Yeah, exactly. Because if that's kind of her go-to, like anytime things get heated or, you know, his power does drop for a minute and she immediately goes there, like what a horrible way to live that's always going to be hanging over your head. This one, you know, mistake you made that she says she forgave you for, but obviously didn't. Yeah, that's very interesting because I think like for me, having just watched this season of them, it always seems like Angela's, you know, super insecure and she's got these trust issues and it seems like it's coming out of nowhere because like you said, like Michael seems like a really good guy. But it's so interesting that it's this like crazy rocky past and that she hasn't been able to let go of any of those things. And they've now manifested to the point where like, you know, that one scene where he tried to introduce her to some American friends and they happen to be women and she like loses her mind and has to leave. Like he can't even, you know, introduce her to other women was like a big red flag in my opinion. But
he can't be hanging out with other women. He can't be going out with friends here and there. There's just no winning in this situation. And I can only imagine how bad it's going to be. Your power dies and you're like, you don't even think about, oh, I have to like do this for work tomorrow. Oh, I was supposed to be on a podcast later. Oh, I have homework. You have to think about, oh my God, I have to spend the next 3 hours swearing up and down that I didn't do anything
yeah.
to my wife.
Yeah, like, which is wild. Especially, like, I'm sure there's a huge time difference between where mm-hmm. she's living in Nigeria. Like, he's probably getting up at, like, 3 a.m, making sure everything's still plugged in. So, like, all the texts come through. Just wild.
Yeah, and it's unfathomable. So then they call him Sneaky Michael. You know, a couple people bring that up. And, like, we see the scene again at the Bachelorette party, which I don't know if I'm in the wrong here, but I don't think he did anything wrong.
I don't think he did either.
Yeah. He's saying still that he didn't look. I don't think he looked. But if he did, it's the bachelor party and we know he's not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. So it's fine. I don't know. Because then here's the thing. Thought it was fine because then she confesses to dancing scantily with his good-looking friend Dre to make him jealous, and then got mad that he didn't get jealous because he was looking at someone else.
Yeah, she said a couple times during the tell-all that, like, she likes to make Michael jealous, and is like, honey, you can't have it both ways. You can't do things to try to make him jealous and then get upset when he looks at, I mean, you were at a strip club, just eyes are generally, you know, going places. And then I don't know if this is inappropriate, but the clip that they were showing of that woman moving, like, her butt cheeks independently, I was like, hell yeah, you'll be looking. Like, that's pretty cool. Not everyone can do that.
What is going on over there?
It was wild. It came on the screen and I, like, tapped my partner because he's, you know, kind of distracted on his phone. I was like, oh, look at that. Like, how cool is that? And that would be me. If I was at that strip club, I'd be like, hey, let's grab a drink and go over there and ask her how she's doing that, because I've never seen that before.
Yeah. And, like, here's the thing, Angela. These are the pitfalls of having a shared bachelorette party. Like, the guys organized this. You know, they're going to take him somewhere like this, some, like, dingy club, where they can later on smoke and hang out or whatever. So, like, this is kind of what you sign up for when you wanted to have it be a joint party. And again, the fact that it took little to nothing for her to get mad, this is not a good, healthy way to handle your business. No, it's Angela.
Like every scene with them, it just seems like she's waiting for, like, the one thing that's going to tip her over. Like, she's ready to go. She's ready to storm out. She's got her big, you know, list of swear words that she'll be throwing at him. And she's just waiting for one thing to, like, tip her over the edge, which, again, is like, what a horrible way to live. I would be so unhappy.
And then here's another example of Sean not doing her job right, in my humble opinion, is so Michael talks about, like, they're talking about Michael looking at someone, and then she goes, hey, Larissa, how would you feel if someone gave Eric a lap dance? And I was like, that's a weird way to, like, if a stripper gave him a lap dance, a weird segue, because one is looking, the other one's a lap dance. But then I think Larissa gave the answer that Sean didn't think was going to happen, which was, I don't care, because they're not doing it for him. They're doing it for the money.
Yeah. Which now that you've told me about her adult webcam business makes a lot of sense, because that's probably exactly how she's selling it to Eric. Like, who cares? They're just wanting, like, I just want it for the money.
Mm-hmm. Like, they're just paying me to look at me. Don't worry about it. Like, I'm with you. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that was very, very interesting that we had to bring that up.
No, not even. You know what is interesting is that we find out that Michael had a lap dance when he was in college, which is not interesting. The interesting part is how much this upsets Angela.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh, I was like, oh, honey. Oh gosh, these two, just everything. Just, like, he can't do anything right in his, you know, in the present time, and even going back, like, 20, 15 years, whatever it was, still can't do anything right.
No. And what's funny is that next episode, we're going to get into, hopefully next episode, maybe the third episode, we're going to get into the whole conversation about him wanting a child. Mm. And she's like, I'm 54, blah, blah, blah. And as far as I remember, the one condition Michael had was, I want a child.
Yes.
So you can't just close the door on him and expect him to be okay with that.
Yeah, I thought that was, I mean, we'll see more of it, I guess, next week or the week after, but I thought that was such a change from, I remember, like, her on the boat with him, you know, pre-wedding, saying, like, oh, we'll try, you know, I've got some health concerns, but we'll try, let's call my doctor, let's see about that one egg. Like, she seemed so much more, you know, optimistic, probably in a bit of a naive sense, but now it seems like she's totally flipped. I don't know if she's been, like, scrolling through Reddit or, you know, finally looked at a calendar and was like, oh, wow, nope, not realistic. like even IVF, if they're thinking she's the one to, you know, to carry the baby, if they're going to do the implant with her, like, that's, her doctor was also saying, like, no.
I didn't look it up. What does that stand for?
So that's in vitro fertilization. And usually they'll take like his sperm and her egg. They'll fertilize it in like a test tube or whatever. But then they usually insert it back into the woman. Like, so she carries the baby.
I see.
You can insert it into a surrogate, which I guess is kind of what they're planning to do. Cause I don't think it would be wise for Angela to carry the baby.
Right. That's the problem, is that she doesn't want him, doesn't want a surrogate, doesn't want adoption, doesn't want them to go like get it from, like, it has to be with her and she can't do it. So it's like, well, then something's got to give. Like, there's got to be some solution you can get to. We'll get into that more with them later. But yeah, basically where we left it with them was then Michael lied to her about having a lap dance in college, said he had never had one because she was feeling insecure, and she pushed through to give him a lap dance because she thought he had never had a lap dance. So that's why she was upset.
How generous. How sweet of you, Angela.
What a martyr. Yeah. Truly. Yeah. The sacrifices of Angela will not be forgotten by any. And she hits us with this line of, hey, just like people love candy with diabetes, or people with diabetes love candy, it's not good for them. That's what she used to describe this relationship with Michael.
Which was, you know, interesting. I don't think Angela's like known for her metaphors, but I kind of think she might be onto something here. Cause I think they obviously have love for each other, you know, like they're happy to see each other before things get horrible with all the clips and whatever. Like they're, you know, they're laughing together. So there's obviously love there, but I kind of think she's onto something. Like if the kind of relationship you two are going to have is where you can't trust him, you have to check up on him all the time, and he feels like he's living under, like, you know, he's being watched all the time, then maybe that really is not great for you guys. Like, that's not healthy. And now the whole, you know, kid thing is also another part of it. You're making each other actively unhappy. You know, you can't have kids. Then I kind of think she might be onto something. We love each other, but we might not be right for each other.
Yeah. So I guess my question is the diabetes the relationship or them? Like, ooh. Or is the relationship candy?
I feel like the candy part is like their love for each other on the surface. Like they want it. And then the diabetes is like, what happens when you actually have the candy? Like, you know, you wanted it, but then here's what actually happens. It's trust issues, insecurity, no babies. I might be stretching her metaphor a little bit here.
Yeah, because I feel like my problem with the metaphor is it's a good metaphor, but it's like diabetes is like, well, then you have to stop eating the candy. But in this instance, we're not saying stop the relationship. So for me, it might be like a burger and a stomach ache, if anything, because like, it's like a stomach ache's bad, but like you could maybe power through it. But like with diabetes, you shouldn't power through it. It'll get worse with the diabetes.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess it depends how badly or Michael wants that kid. Maybe it is diabetes. Maybe he really does need to stop diabetes. Stop the candy. Oh, boy.
Yeah. So then the last segment they had is they talked about their wedding. We saw the infamous scene of to love and to obey. Oh, man. That doesn't get old. That's a great moment for me. Yeah, and then she starts welling up again, thinking about her mom. So she walks away. Michael talks about it, and that's about it for the Michael and Angela side of things.
Yeah, that's all. The only thing I wanted to add was I thought Detective Debbie actually kind of stood out to me through this whole segment. She was like complimenting Angela on her dress, saying, you know, I feel so bad about your mom. Don't apologize for crying. And I was like, oh, look at Debbie being like the supportive, lovely friend that, you know, Angela really needs in this moment. I thought she was quite nice through that whole segment.
Yeah, when Debbie's not being called a demon and isn't like lusting over her own son in a weird way, she's actually a nice person.
Yeah, it was nice to see that side of her.
Who would have thought? So before we go on to the next couple, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back just in time to talk about your all caps notes and mine. It's time for the Kalani and Osweilu segment.
Ooh, oh boy.
So we better brace ourselves here because this is going to get... Oh no, you know what? I scrolled down too deep. We got to hold on to that a little bit, Rihanna. We're going to talk about the Colts segment because I definitely forgot that there was more Colts stuff.
I'd like to forget about a lot of Colts stuff. So
there's too much Colts. There's too much Colts.
Way too much.
So how do we talk about this? Because basically this is the most unorganized mess is their segments because they can't talk two sentences without someone cussing someone else out and like yelling at someone else. So it's a whole hodgepodge situation. But basically Jess's whole thing is that Colt doesn't love me. He never loved me. He's the worst. He's a liar. And Colt's responses to her are, you never loved me either. You manipulate men. You throw around sex like it's going out of style. You had me in bed before I even knew your name.
And calling her sweetheart about 45 times, which...
First of all, gross. Like, grown-ass men saying sweetheart condescendingly to get a rise out of women is, like, one of the worst things to me.
The worst.
Like, that and saying calm down are, like, pretty much hand-in-hand of the worst things you can be saying. Okay. So, yeah. So then, obviously, Larissa's here to defend Jess every chance she gets, which is good. I think that Jess needed this because of the language barrier, because of the fact that Colt is... We've seen how Colt behaves in these reunions. Colt, like, acts like this villainous douche and, like, has this false sense of confidence that I don't see him having any other time, and it's just not great. Also, can we talk about his hair? I can't believe we're almost an hour in, and we haven't talked about the horrendous hair. He had great hair during this season, in my opinion.
He did. When they showed that one clip, there's one that he's like to camera, the hair is all pushed back, and I was like, yes, Colt, that's your look. I don't understand this bangs situation. It's not good on him.
No. Colty with bangs is not ideal.
Not good. And you would think like for the tell all where you're gonna be there with your two exes, you know, he's lost some weight, you'd think he'd want to kind of look his best, do his hair, put on a nice shirt. Apparently not part of the plan.
Apparently, yeah, no, not ideal. So then, so they have their back and forth. What is your whole thought about them, Rihanna?
So I'm actually very proud of Jess because I think a lot of her points were really spot on, saying that, you know, like Colt's a narcissist. It's all about his ego. He always thinks he's right, and he always blames it on women. And he always says, "Oh, the problem is with, you know, these women. There's, you know, what's the common denominator here? It can't be me. It's got to be these women that I'm choosing." And I think actually Debbie really needed to hear that because that seems to be her refrain every time she defends Colt. It's always like, oh yeah, you know, this woman and then this woman did this and this woman did that. And it's like, hello, like, what's the common factor here? It's always Colt. So I was very proud of Jess. She seemed like she really had all of her feelings really organized and she knew exactly what she wanted to say to him. I thought that was great. Colt's, you know, drives me up a wall. Just everything he says, he's so, it's that, like, that false bravado, even when he's doing, okay, fine, Jess, you know, I'm a bad person, it's all me, like, he's doing it in that very, like, you know, fake way where he still thinks he's deserving of all of this sympathy. And I don't know if you want to get into the sending of the pictures and all that.
Oh, let's go for it.
It hurts me to wrap my head around this. For him to be saying that he's sending these photos because, oh, the women send them to me and I feel like I have to reciprocate. You know, this is just I do for affection. I was like, oh, Colt.
Yeah. The fact that he nice guided it and was like, feel like it's common courtesy to return the favor. Like, Colt, no.
Gross. Like, I can guarantee you those women who are sending you photos are not doing it because they're just dying for you to reciprocate. Like, that is not
No, they're chasing the clout. Like, sadly enough, you have a bit of clout to you because you're on TV. That's what's happening. And you're in a relationship. I don't care how much you've been fighting. Because this whole thing was like, Jess, I sent pictures of my, they bleeped it, but dick to women. Because to me, that's affection. When my girlfriend is fighting with me, banging some guy, banging her friend, banging some guy in Chicago, banging some guy in Washington, D.C. Like, he's just ranting about nothing. This is all fluff. I don't think it's been verified that Jess has done those things. Obviously, we saw one scene the whole season where she threatened to sleep with one of her friends,
right?
But that, or one of her exes or something. I don't think she did. I think that was her way of, like, you know, her empty threat of, I'm going to do this to, like, get him to, like, simmer down.
Totally. Yeah. Just throwing a little salt in the wound as she's running away, kind of saying, like, well, forget about you. Like, you know, I've got this other person I'm going to go sleep with. Yeah. It's wild to me that he can do stuff like that and, like, try to defend his behavior. Like, oh, this is just, like, a normal thing that people do when they're angry at their girlfriends, or even a normal thing that single people do. Like, this is, it's just not normal behavior across the board. Relationship, single, no. It's weird. Like, you don't, it's a weird thing to do. PSA for any person with a penis listening. Like, no thanks. Nobody wants that.
No, outside, listen, unless someone straight up messages you and says, may I have this picture, then it's fine.
Right.
If they've specifically, but trust me, 99 times out of 100, this is not something you should be doing. You're being odd. Stop it. It's not good enough. Yeah. Okay. Yep. I have to ask you a which one's worse question. Okay. So which one of these two scenarios is worse to you? Colt having his entire, like, sex life unravel in front of him and his mom there? Or Angela wishing Colt sent him one?
Oh, no. I'm going to say Angela is worse, because I think, the Debbie and Colt relationship is so odd to me that I would not be surprised if she already, like, knew about all this, is probably giving him, like, suggestions for lighting, for backdrops. Like, Debbie's in there in a very uncomfortable way. Like, she's, I mean, hopefully she's not there when he's actually taking photos, but I would not be surprised if she was like, oh, honey, like, try, oh, this shirt would be a great one for your next pictures. Like, Debbie's already in there, and that's their whole thing, and I'm happy to just kind of, you know, shut the door on that. The Angela one, I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, she definitely thinks she's, like, the queen of these tell-alls, and she needs, and she's coming for the laughs. But in this situation, and I think she said something too, oh, the Livy and Andre, when she said, like, oh, I wish I had met Livy's dad before I met Michael. In that situation, I was like, you know what? Thank you, Angela. We needed to diffuse the tension a little bit here. Like, things were getting a little bit, you know, kind of gross with Libby's family. Like, it was just a very ugly situation, and we kind of needed one big belly laugh. So I appreciated that. In this situation, I was a little bit like, ugh, like Angela, you know, he's going to follow through on that. Like, 100%. She woke up the next morning to a text from Colt, because that's what he thinks he should do. So that one grosses me out a bit more, to be honest.
No, same. And I will say, the reason it didn't come up earlier with the hitting on Chuck is because it did diffuse the situation there, but also, like, this is just Angela. She says things to get attention on 100%. These reunions, and it bugs me.
Yeah, I think even, like, in all of her scenes, right? Like, anytime she loses it on Michael, like, yes, that is probably her actual reaction, because she's got, you know, whatever trust issues she has, but she knows that's going to get her more airtime. Like, anytime she can 100%. Throw out all her cuss words and storm off, like, that's a great scene for TLC, and she knows that. So,
yeah.
This is Angela.
This pretty much is. And then the one last thing with them is the whole Vanessa of it all comes up. Obviously, Vanessa's been a big part of the story, because she's someone that they're friends with, but Jess didn't want him to be friends with, and he lied about them being friends. And then Vanessa was cat sitting for them while they were in Brazil. That was kind of the catalyst for the whole, I'm going to go sleep with my ex, and the whole fight and getting the shoes thrown at Colty and all that whole mess. And then here it gets brought up again, and Colt's asked if he's ever slept with Vanessa. And initially he says no, interestingly enough. And then he retracts it and says, before I met you, Jess, we slept together. And then after we broke up, we slept together some more. So this is the mind of a Colty, where he denied it outright.
Yep.
And then he doubled down the other way and said, not only did we do it before we were dating, we've done it plenty since as well. Okay. Which is like, wait, then why were you comfortable saying no? And now, yeah, it makes no sense to me.
Yeah. His logic is so flawed. And still every time he says it, anything that comes out of his mouth, isn't that really defensive? Like, you should feel bad for me. I deserve your sympathy kind of way. And I'm just like, how in your brain does that make sense? Like, how do you get off thinking that you deserve sympathy for this when 2 seconds ago you were trying to deny that this happened at all? Like, oh, confuses me. No, he confuses
he's
me.
He's a real piece of work. Like, honestly, yeah. Like, if someone was to study his mannerisms, his patterns of behavior, mm-hmm. I don't know if they'd get a definitive result of like, oh, okay, this is the result. I feel like it's just so random and just odd.
Yeah.
None of it adds up.
I agree. He's the one that, you know, despite all the things that are happening with, you know, Andre and Charlie and Asuelu and everyone, like, Colt's the one that really just absolutely drives me up a wall, like enrages me with his behavior. I don't understand it. I don't like it.
It's like, because with the others, you can kind of, you know, cite cultural differences or different cultural understandings or, okay, the language barrier, miscommunication happened through that. Like, there's other things you can look at and pinpoint. Whereas with Colt, it's like, oh no, you're just a big piece of garbage. Like, yep. That's all it is, really.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Well, we can move on. Now we'll do what we did when we came back from commercial and I goofed because I was too far down my notes. Now we can talk about the all cap segment, the Kalani and Asuelu segment, because damn. You can take it away though.
All right. So we start off with Kalani and Asuelu, and Sean's kind of saying like, oh, I'm shocked to see you here. You know, how are things? Mm-hmm. And Kalani says, we're together, but we're in a rocky place, which I think is kind of like a summary of, you know, I'm going to say maybe 10 days after they got married till now is together, but in a rocky place. Like, I don't know that these two have ever really been solid ever since, I guess, she found out she was pregnant. Like, it's sort of been rocky since then. And the first kind of segment where they're, you know, piling on Asuelu and rightfully so, is that they're upset that he's still going out so much during the pandemic.
Yes. Yeah. So we find out just to what extent, because so obviously last we saw him, he was shipped off to Washington for not following social distancing, not quarantining properly. And we find out that he comes back unannounced for a surprise.
Yeah.
And he cites, well, I couldn't be away from my wife and my kids, which is like, yeah, that's fine. But also you should be announcing that stuff so they can make sure that all the precautions are taken. But whatever.
It's like
fine.
A simple text would have been helpful here.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And like, we thought, oh, he's going to go play volleyball. In my head, genuinely, I thought it was a once a week thing.
Me too.
To find out that it's a 6 days a week thing is outrageous.
Wild. Yeah, absolutely wild. That's some intense, like, is that like Olympic level volleyball? I don't know any volleyball team that would meet that often. Like, that is an intense training schedule.
Yeah. Like, as someone who put together a soccer team for, we played in a soccer league, like a recreational league. It was once a week for like, sometimes we had two games that day, but usually it was one game, 1 hour. So it's like 2 hours a week, if anything. So to play 6 days a week, I got to imagine one game would have been league, but that's even if the league was still going, because for all we know, any recreational leagues would have shut down because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Like, my soccer stuff definitely shut down.
Yeah.
So I think that it's just there are a bunch of friends that play volleyball together, so they just meet up and do it. So it's just like five or six people who are just complicit with behaving this way during a, you know, pandemic.
Yeah. Ugh, that's, yeah, I can 100% awful. See where Kalani and her family are coming from. Like, it's so aggravating to have someone who is going out so often for these non-essential trips and sending her videos where he's not wearing a mask. Like, what are you doing? Why? What?
Why are you so stupid? And like, here's the thing is that there are so many other factors. If it was just him and Kalani, I would be like, don't do it. But then you have two young kids and your mother-in-law has like health issues that, you know, is something like COVID can really rip apart. So maybe you just take the precautions, like grow up. Honestly, grow up is the biggest thing. It's the Kirsten McInnes line. I'm using it here. Grow up, because it's frustrating Because, you know, we're seeing this nowadays still in the news. We're seeing this on our social media pages. People that are not following the guidelines. People that are just like, you know, I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore. It's like, well, none of us do.
Yes.
You think any of us want this? Like, no, but you got to go through the motions to get it out of the system, to get it to leave. And as long as we don't do that, this is going to keep happening. We just passed a million in worldwide deaths, I believe, to this. So it's not a joke. And to see people treated as a joke is frustrating, and it is hard. And, like, you know, it's like, I understand, like, for me, you know, a lot of TV viewing is to escape from the realities. But then when it comes up like this, it's important to talk about, because it is a reality of what's going on right now. And I don't like that. It's important that he is, you know, reprimanded on TV for behaving as such, because don't normalize it. Do not normalize that this is okay, what you're doing. And then for him to cite that, oh, well, you know, she doesn't listen to me sometimes. Like, I don't believe you should sniff the milk, but she sniffs the milk. So in Samoan culture, that's not good. It's like, okay, but that's so not the same thing.
No.
Her sniffing the milk is not going to be a health problem to your kids and your mother-in-law.
Yeah, that was such, like, an absurd reference. And I was like, really, if that's, you know, if that's how you feel, get multiple milks. Asuelu can have his own carton in the fridge, no problem.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, this, what my all caps notes are, this is what happens when you marry a child. Because that's what all of the problems can be boiled down to, right? When you marry a child, this is what happens. You end up being his mother and needing to reprimand him on TV when he can't follow simple rules like don't go play volleyball six times a week without a mask, without social distancing. You know, just like, even in, you know, that one, I was probably skipping ahead a little, when he tries to leave and she's kind of convincing him to stay and, you know, helping him put the earpiece back on. I was like, this is a mother child. Like, this is exactly what a mom would do to a kid, being like, oh, just stay. Come on. It's almost done. It's going to be my turn next. Sit down here, like, helping him with the earpiece. And I was just like, this is not a marriage. Like, this is not you and your husband at all.
No, it's Kalani raising three kids, 100%. Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, three kids, but one of the kids has, you know, a big head and can do whatever he wants because he is an adult.
Yeah, can drive himself places, which is just frustrating.
Yeah, because then we find out that he's also now a dance instructor. Mm-hmm. So on top of the six volleyball sessions a week, he's also teaching dance. And his whole thing is, well, we dance and get paid, so I'm going to keep doing it. And then she replies with, well, it's not that much money, so we could do without it for now, honestly. Like, it sounds like it's not contributing to the household all that much.
Right. I think, I don't know, not to defend Asuelu at all, because I think his behavior is super irresponsible, but I think part of the reason why he's struggling so much is that they had these same complaints before the pandemic. Like, she was also struggling with him going to volleyball pre-pandemic. So I think it's hard for him to say, like, hey, the end result is don't go to volleyball. Before it was because I'm not helping enough around the house. And now it's this pandemic. Like, okay, well, what's the real problem here? You know, like, I think he's just feeling very caged in, very controlled. And it sounds like, you know, this dance thing is probably, like, a really cool creative outlet for him. Maybe it's like a heritage thing. Maybe it's like a cool Samoan dance that he's getting to teach. To me, that sounds like something you could do over Zoom. Like, I know a lot of dance classes have gone virtual. I feel like there's ways.
Yeah.
Or, like, even just social distance. Like, hey, I'm the teacher. I'm going to be at the front. Everyone stand, you know, really far away from me for this one. I'm not a dancer, but I assume dance classes could be done socially distanced. I feel like there's ways, even volleyball, you know, like, oh, hey, like, hey, go to the gym, you know, by yourself with the ball and practice whatever, your serves. You know, wear your mask and wash your hands. Like, there's ways for him to still get those outlets and have his, you know, his hobbies, but without endangering his entire family.
I agree with you. And that's the thing, is that I think, because, you know, then I want to, like, look at it from the other side of things. You know, he is in, what are they, in Utah? He's alone, you know, he's away from family. He just had this hard thing happen with his family. So I understand that he needs to. And, like, we know that his volleyball team is kind of like, I believe it's more people from Samoa.
Yeah.
I think he's like, it's like his peeps, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think he's, you know, he needs that comfort away from home. But also, again, I think he needs to realize that a lot of this can be maintained through online methods. Mm-hmm. So you should be able to, like, the dance, the online classes 100% make sense to me. Social distance classes, like, there's reason to believe that whatever dance place they're at, they're, you know, they can keep 6 feet apart distance. There is reason to believe, like, if you want to do these things, I know wearing a mask is hard while playing sports, but if you've signed up to do it, I'm seeing my friends in Dubai right now. I'm seeing them all hit the gym and they're all wearing masks while doing their, like, you know, doing their stuff around the gym. And it's like, it must not be easy, but like, that's what you got to do right now. Yeah. So you got to just, you know, just do it. Just everyone's doing it. Just deal with it. Mm-hmm. Really.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, I think he just gets very stubborn. Like, you know, and I think Colini points this out, like, when he's not happy, like, he blows up and then he storms off. And that sort of seems to be the way. And it's, like, a little bit wild to me that Kalani and her family are, like, accepting it and allowing that behavior. Like, I just can't understand somebody going out that often and for them to still be, you know, obviously they're mad at him, but they still allow him to, like, come in the home and stuff like that. Like, I don't think I could do it. I think I would, his stuff would be on the front step and I'd be like, okay, if this is the life you're living, like, you need to go get a hotel or go stay with a friend because you can't come in here anymore.
Yeah. I gotta imagine it's complex. I think there's two reasons. I think one is, Kalani does not, I, even though she's mentioned she's considering separation, I don't think she wants to admit defeat and admit divorce. Yeah. I think there's quite a few people in the world that are like, I got married. That's a commitment. I need to see it out. I need to work it out. But then the other thing is, I feel like, because I do think that leaving the last time we saw Kalani and Asuelu was the fan favorite. People loved him. He was the lovable dummy. And like, yes, some of his stuff was, you know, mentality was off about things and he was a little childish, but he was so adorable and he danced for her at the airport and everything. So then we move all the way here and like we're seeing that he's being a bit of a horse's ass with regards to some things, but they might not be seeing the reaction at the time. So they don't want to become the villains by putting this man who has nowhere else to turn in America on the doorstep.
Right. Yeah, I can see that because I think he would definitely have, you know, a pretty good sob story like, oh, my wife divorced me and now I'm, you know, still working part-time at this frozen yogurt shop and kids and I had to move to Washington and live on my mom's couch or whatever it is.
Yeah. Why have we only seen that cheese sample yogurt place once? Like, it hasn't come up since. I'm not saying we should go back to the premises, but why hasn't that job come up since?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I wonder, did the pandemic, I can't imagine they're giving out free samples anymore. So I don't, is he not working at all anymore? I don't know.
Right. I feel like free samples have gone the way of like buffets. Like, I think they're, or handshakes. I think they might not come back ever again.
It's true. Costco's gonna be in big trouble. Free samples.
Oh, man. RIP the Costco samples. No. Okay. So. Then the last bit of their relationship tell-all stuff, we get all the families in. We get both the moms, both the sisters. Colini's there, Tammy's there, Lucina is there, and I forget what Lisa is there. There we go. Yeah, so they're all there, and they're all giving their opinions. Lisa says period one too many times for my liking. I was like, Lisa, you're not 24. Why are you saying pure? What? Like, don't Yas Queen next, because that's coming.
It's definitely
like,
stop. Coming. It's definitely coming. maybe she thinks it's one of those, like, speech-to-text situations where you have to, like, say your punctuation out loud. So
yeah. Yeah. I would have had to deal with that comma, but I didn't.
Lisa.
So they bring in Tammy and Lucina's after a little bit. And, you know, Tammy, for me, is probably the worst person I've met this season. She bothers me so much. She's just a walking catch 22, hypocrite, paradox, whatever you want to call it. Like, she keeps saying that the family shouldn't meddle in Kalani and Asuelu's business, but then she has no problem meddling in their business. Yes. She says that, like, it's frustrating to deal with.
Frustrating. Like, she literally says, okay, like, you know, Lisa and Colini, like, you shouldn't be telling Asuelu what to do. Kalani should be telling him what to do. Oh, except for when he wants to send money. Then she shouldn't tell him anything. Like, what? Like, how can you be on both sides of that?
Yeah. No, and I love this. So I famously did not like Kalani family at all. I used to think the Kalani family thought they were the next Kardashians, and like they were like big on the drama stuff. But I will say Kalani stepping up to Tammy has been phenomenal.
I love it. I love Kalani.
Mm-hmm. Same. This season has been completely different for me with how she's been. So I've been very happy with that. And I find myself thinking that Tammy is the worst.
Yep.
Always the worst. I'm disappointed with Lucina. I think Lucina came into this reunion and I thought she had completely realized her mistakes and apologized to her son and wanted the redemption. It sounds like since Asuelu was sent to her doorstep, so that she's kind of like revisited her initial takes, which was, I'm not going to, yield. I need my money. Mm-hmm. Send me my money.
Yeah, I agree. I think it might be a situation where Tammy's kind of in her ear a little bit and saying like, hey, we need to, like, this is what we want. We need to have a united front on this one. Like, come in strong with me here. Not dissimilarly to how Jen is kind of in Chuck's ear telling him things about Andre. I think we might have that situation on the Tammy Lucina side.
Mm-hmm. I would have to agree as well, because it's very obvious that Tammy speaks for Lucina in a weird way, even though she doesn't want Asuelu to speak for her mom. Yep. But she can. So I do think that she's kind of the parrot here, and I have no idea, but I have a feeling that Tammy's not really giving that much money to her.
No, I can't. All. It's like, why wouldn't you share that information if you wanted to just say like, oh, I give $1,000 a month, like you should too. Come on, like step up. You're the son, whatever. Like, I feel like you would lead with that example if you were giving a ton of money to try to like force him into it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so then is there anything else here that we've missed out on?
I don't think so. See. I think this one just kind of ends with Asuelu getting, really emotional over his mom's comments, which like, ugh, that's such a hard scene to watch where his mom literally says, I don't care about the kids.
Imagine seeing that. It's like your mom said, I don't care about the kids. I don't care about your marriage. Frankly, I want him to divorce you so he can come back and just give me money. Right. Like, the question that they asked Chuck of like, do you feel like a wallet? Mm-hmm. I feel like Asuelu should think, hey, my mom sees me as a wallet. Because after that, what else is your mom seeing besides the money?
Yeah,
really?
100%. Yeah, I hope Libby's family was still on the call and got to watch all this and be like, no, this is what it's like when somebody is using you, like not interested in your company or your kids or your wife, like literally just here for the money. It's wild. And I kind of liked that Lisa said, like, hey, I totally agree with you. Like, we still send money back to Samoa. Like, that's, that's part of this life. I told Kalani that when she got married, that this is expected. However, you don't get to decide how much money you ask for. Like, you get what you get. You don't get upset. That's it. And that's so true. When he is working part time and a father of two, like, he doesn't have a ton of cash.
Yeah. No. And we'll get more from them, because they did leave it on a cliffhanger. They kind of had the music build up as they were exiting. So here's the little headlines coming in for next week. Okay. So part two, we get a scene where Asuelu stands up for Kalani and the children. Mm-hmm. And then we get the whole Tammy and Kalani trying to fight thing happening. Yep. Yeah. And then Sean brings on the two nitwits, aka Sinjin's former roommates, to speak about Tanya. No, that's going to be a big yikes for me. And then Michael's aunt's going to be there asking Angela whether she'll go through the IVF process. And then Angela yells about how it's too much money, that she's 54. And then Vanessa's going to be coming through for the Vanessa segment, which we were promised.
Yeah, so I think the Vanessa one is the one I'm most looking forward to, because as much as I don't want to talk to Colt anymore, I need to know, who is this woman who is like willingly engaging with this man multiple times, having relations with him, and not because she needs a green card or to, to her reality fame, not to become an Instagram model, but like legitimately just because she likes him and his mother and like wants to hang out with their cats. Like, who, like, I need to learn a little bit more. I'm very interested in who Vanessa is as a person and how this happened to her.
Yeah, and tune in next week where we get to find out the unveiling of Vanessa, the mysterious woman in Colt's life. But that's pretty much where we're at this point. Everything's over. I will say, breaking news, or not, depending on how tapped in you are to the 90 Day franchise. Rihanna, once this tell-all is done, we're not going to be done with these couples. Oh, no. So, similar to the Before the 90 Day Strikes Back series, there's a new Strikes Back series. The Happily Ever After Strikes Back will be coming. Where, basically, if it's not meta enough for you, it's going to be these couples watching moments from their season chronologically. So every week, there's going to be a segment. It's kind of like Pillow Talk, where it's like, okay, Sinjin and Tanya are watching segments of themselves. Andre and Libby are watching segments of themselves. So, as you know, The Other Way should be coming back soon. The month hiatus is up. So we'll be talking The Other Way. But The Other Way is also half the length of the episodes of Happily Ever After. Mm-hmm. So and because we all have familiarity with this couple, given that we've covered it for this season extensively, I think we'll also cover the Happily Ever After Strikes Back. If not for small segments, this is, to me, different than the Darcy and Stacey side of things, because that's kind of its own show. Mm-hmm. And it's also not as intriguing to me as looking at multiple couples at the same time.
Right.
So, agreed. Yeah. So The Other Way will become the primary focus after these tell-alls are done, with a little pinch of HEA, Happily Ever After Strikes Back, weekly as well.
Love it. Are you doing anything with the family, Chantel?
Like most people, I would like to not engage with the family, Chantel. But also I would have to start watching it, because I've not even watched the first season or anything.
No, me neither. Just the trailer happens to pop up all the time, and I'm like, ooh, I don't know about this one.
And it's like, stop trying to make the family Chantel happen. It'll never happen. I'm done with them. All right. No, Rihanna, this was so much fun. I'm genuinely pleased and surprised that we got about an hour, 30 minutes worth of content out of this tell-all. But this is what happens when you have a good conversation about this show. Yeah. So where can people find you? And is there anything else you want to plug before we get out of here?
Nothing I want to plug, because, you know, my pandemic life is pretty boring. Just a lot of baking and watching movies. But you can find me. I'm on Twitter at TSP Adventure. It's Teaspoon of Adventure, which is my travel and book blog, if you care about those things.
Lovely. And you can follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch. It's Puyaism for all three. Now that we've wrapped up this 90 Day podcast, I've got another podcast coming this week in the form of the Masked Singer podcast. That season is officially up and underway, so you can check that out, as well as Big Brother content. Every Friday, you'll be hearing from me talking about the live feeds over on the Reality TV Wrap-Ups Network, the Big Brother Network, for the podcast there. Also, I've got to talk about something else for a second. So we've got the post-show recaps over on, it's the RHAP's Friendly Neighborhood Scripted Television podcast. So we've got RHAP, then you've got post-show recaps where they talk about all these scripted shows. They've got a bunch of amazing projects going over there. It's hosted by Josh Wiggler and friends. We've got Down the Hatch, which is a weekly spoiler-filled Lost rewatch that's going on with Mike Bloom. Everything is Super, where they've been going through and rewatching the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And then, of course, the brand new Aang in there. It's an Avatar Last Airbender rewatch podcast. There's a lot going on. So it's their 70-year anniversary. And they are launching the Patreon for Post Show Recaps. That's right. So now you can become a patron of Post Show Recaps, and you get access to their patron-only exclusive feed, which will have a new movie club podcast called Post Show Recaps Theater. And there's going to be a Discord server, a lot of good stuff. So you can find this content. You can go over to postshowrecaps.com and you can find what's going on there. And then if you want to look specifically at the patron program, go to postshowrecaps.com/patron. And of course, if you've listened to us all the way through here, first of all, thank you so much. I appreciate your patience with the hot mess express of it all. But also, if you could please leave a 5-star rating or review, if we deserve it, That would be much appreciated. It helps people find the podcast. It gives me additional feedback. Even if it's off 5 stars, I would love to know what you think about the podcast. You can do that over on robhasawebsite.com/90dayfiance. The 90 being a 9 and 0 numerical. So robhasawebsite.com/90dayfiance. Okay. I'm almost out of breath, but also we're at our destination. It's time to get off the train. The Hot Mess Express is leaving next week with part 2 of the tell-all. Until then, take care, have a good one, and remember, enjoy your candy, but beware of diabetes. Take care. Bye.